This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimdi Chekwa. How you doing, man? What's going on? It's been a while, man. What's up?
It's been a little minute, man. I'm doing good. It's warm out.
Well, you had to think about that, man.
Well, I got these allergies, man. These allergies that I'm not really used to. The last couple of years, I've been having really, really bad allergies. And it's not like cough and sneezing. It's like puffy eyes and
the eye fuzzy
itching and stuff. So it's like the allergies are attacking me in a way that they know they can get me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they came at me with this coughing and sneezing, I'd be good. Like, I could do that all day. But the eyes, man, that's
That's fuzzy, man. Yeah. No one wants to have fuzzy vision, man. That's rough, man. I would recommend we found out last year that my daughter had allergies. She was had the puffy eyes for like a while. She recommended changing your filter once a month, doing like the high pollen ones. So change your furnace filter to help out. Man, that's all I got for you. I don't have allergies, but I guess it worked for my daughter, man. So, you know, consider it. Yeah.
I'll try that, man. Let's get kicked off with our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source to all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports to this year's NBA playoffs. BetOnline is your sports intel headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs, from basketball, MLB, NHL, hockey, golf, to UFC and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Get into the action today. So head to the website. Use your mobile device to join and be sure to use the promo code BLEAV, Believe, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
All right. And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER if you need any assistance. They're there 24/7. It's gambling, man. So, you know, take it easy. But yeah, man. So let's talk about it, man. Like, they you know, in the ad, they talk about the NBA playoffs, bet on the NBA playoffs. Me and you both, we're LeBron guys, right? So we're cheering for the Lakers, and it didn't go too good, man. Sweat, man. I thought that while you was a little bit down, while you didn't know if you feel good or not, man.
You know, I watch all the Laker games, man. I stay up late and watch them all.
You're a madman.
I thought the Lakers had a shot, man. Once they made a trade, they fixed some issues. I was very, very adamant that they had a chance to make a run. They kind of did make a run. I thought matchups were going to be important. I thought Denver was going to be a good matchup for him, but definitely was not a good matchup for him. So, disappointed, man. Disappointed in LeBron not being able to get a fifth championship. And also, Lil Bronny choosing USC.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, was probably predictable. But choosing
USC predictable, but we had a little hope that he'd be a Buckeye, right?
a little bit of hope. They teased it a little bit. But USC coming to the Big Ten as well. To another Big Ten school.
Yeah, I feel like the Lakers overperformed, in my opinion. I know before the playoffs we discussed it. Didn't think that the Lakers was really that good. I figured they'd get out the play-in, but I thought they'd lose in the first round to whoever they matched. And obviously, they overperformed. I mean, they took care of Memphis, and then really Golden State was like, no way they beat Golden State. No way they beat Steph and Clay. I mean, I know Draymond's the part, but I just feel like, you know, he's not really the reason that the Lakers weren't going to win. It's going to be more Steph and Clay, that combination with Wiggins being back. And they were able to beat them. So I was like, okay, you know, that's a pretty solid. Then they ran against Denver. I was a little bit more hopeful against Denver. Denver kind of still in that point where we just kind of count on them to fail, more or less.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, right. So, but, you know, they proved to still be that number one team. They played well. Fourth quarters, they turned it on when the Lakers couldn't really keep up with them, when the game kind of got tight and crucial, and, you know, kudos to them. So I'm not saying I'm hoping they win a championship. not going that far for Denver, but, you know, kudos to them. They played well. They deserve it. They won, man. So, you know, but once again, man, it's been a while. We haven't spoken a minute, man. Got on here to do a show. What's been going on, man? Anything new in your life? What's up with the family, man? How's life?
So, daughter graduated kindergarten. So that was a big moment. Yesterday, graduated kindergarten. You know, it was
great.
This year, they had a little bit of a performance where they sang and danced. She did the robot. It was cool stuff. So, congratulations to Elia, my firstborn. 6 years old now. Getting over that first hump.
Congrats, man. Congrats to that. My daughter actually as well. You know, we based our daughters basically a year apart, almost to the T. I think 11 months. My daughter just had her, let's call it her preschool promotion. So now she's off to real school, kindergarten. She's got to go on the school bus next year. So that's like, and I understand that these school buses, the wild, wild west. That's what I'm hearing from my neighbors. Like, the school bus is like, my neighbor said it today, it's like Lord of the Flies, man. So I was like, okay, so that'd be interesting, man. Hopefully, you know, I don't know. We'll see what it is,
they're
man.
They're growing up.
Kudos to the kids. Kudos to Brian and Elia for those promotions. On to the next task and going on with the school. And, man, they say it goes fast, and I'm starting to feel it, man. Our oldest kids, they're just growing up, man. But obviously, this is Believe in Buckeyes. So we're here to talk about Ohio State, man, and what's going on there. This is summer now. Spring ball has ended. I believe the boys had their break. I believe they're kind of back in town, kind of starting some summer workouts or something of the nature. Graduation's here. You know, some of the guys are graduating, things of that nature. So it's just, you know, different times, man. It's getting ready to start gearing up for that summer grind and kind of getting things into getting closer to fall camp. But I guess one of the biggest news around campus here is a big news to definitely the program, if you think about it and you love Ohio State, is that Joe Philbin is joining the staff. Joe, if you don't know who Joe Philbin is, he won the Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers as an offensive coordinator. From there, he went on to be a head coach in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins. And he's just if you know Joe, I went to camp with the Dolphins. He was a head coach for like a week. I mean, he was like one of those fantastic guys. Like, so overall, great guy. But he's joining the staff as an offensive analyst. So that's kind of big news. That's kind of big news when you think about what we got going on in our offense and Brian Hartline being in his first year as an offensive coordinator. So what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great complimentary hire. You think, you know, based on this potential transition of Hartline taking over the offensive coordinator duties, Ryan Day moving to more of that CEO-type role over the entire team, bringing in a guy with the experience to balance off, you know, the lack of experience from Brian Hartline's standpoint. But also, you know, Brian Hartline, passing game coordinator, going to offensive coordinator, Joe Philbin more of a, you know, the guy who coaches in the trenches. So I think it's a great complimentary hire. It adds that experience to, you know, a guy who's going in with a lack of experience, and I just think it's just a good approach.
So look at, I didn't know this before our conversation, but Joe Philbin used to be a former offensive line coach. So shout out to the O line, but he used to be the O line coach at Ohio back in the day before he started getting more of the coordinator roles and things of that nature. He started as a coordinator / offensive line guy. So yeah, I think it's huge, man. Like you say, we're talking about a guy that's been around football for in the coaching ring for 30, 40 plus years now, right? I mean, just a ton of experience. Obviously was able to win at the highest level as a head coach. I know he didn't have the greatest record, but obviously, you know, to get one of those 32 jobs, you got to be well respected. You have to kind of, you know, you just don't look up and get one of those positions. So him coming in should definitely help out things a lot, I would say. And then, like you say, just kind of adding some experience. Him going in at the offensive analyst role, it is kind of interesting when you put that title to it. Like, because, you know, when I hear that analyst role, it's like, you know, is he going to be on the field every day at practice, you know, or is he just going to be kind of, you know, watching film every day and kind of going over his tools from there and what he sees and what he believes? So obviously, I don't know, but it is kind of interesting to see, you know, exactly how that would play out.
Yeah, I view that analyst role, you see it a lot now. I forget who the coach who used to be the Dolphins head coach as well. Defensive coach. He was an analyst with Pittsburgh. He used to be at the Patriots.
And LaFleur?
Yeah.
Brian LaFleur.
Brian Flores, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at it, it's almost like a consultant. Like if I, you know, a guy who's in an industry for a long time, a ton of accolades, you know, you got your coaching you have your coaching staff set, right? Yeah. But you're like, shoot, we need a little bit of that experience. Let's bring in this consultant to be here every day and make sure that they're filling in the gaps, you know, where we may be lacking. So I think it's a great hire. And the importance of it, the significance of it for me is we need all the help we can get defensively, but not mm-hmm. necessarily offensive coordinator or, you know, position coach. It's more of the structure and the mm-hmm. ability to make sure that everything's working together, that we're identifying every single detail, looking under every – turning over every stone to make sure that we are the defense, the silver bullet defense that we want to be. And I think that's a responsibility of the head coach to make sure that things are going the way that he intends them to go. Like, he has a vision for the overall team, and it's hard to continuously be able to execute on that vision and make sure that we're seeing it through if you're so focused on one side of the ball from
right. –
you know, calling the plays, organizing the offense in every single detail on one side. It's hard to make sure that vision, that overall vision, is actually being implemented across the entire team.
Yeah, and then, like we said, we had spoke before, right? You know, we joked about it, but, you know, obviously Brian Hartline, the former wide receiver coach, you know, NFL wide receiver, you know, things of that nature. He, you know, we anticipate that he's going to do a lot of, you know, kind of, you know, slinging it around, even though we know where the experience at on our current roster is most likely in our interior offensive line. Will you really, that's how you really run the ball, the interior offensive line, and our great gauntlet of running backs. You know, we got guys just with a ton of experience at the running back position that's coming back. So hopefully Philbin could kind of come in and just kind of stay that role. Like, hey, look, this is what we do well on the run. Let's kind of make sure we get it going, make sure we do these certain things. You know, when you look at any offensive coordinator, you know, you kind of have a collective plays that you plan on going into the game with, and, you know, you want to have, you know, a certain amount of plays in each situation, first and 10, second and 8, second and 12, 36, 38. You know, you got these situational plays that you kind of go over, and you kind of come into each game with that kind of usually written down. Like, okay, this is what we really want to do in these situations. So I just hopefully Philbin could kind of come in once again with his experience and kind of just harp on the fact on certain things that you should consider. Like, hey, consider this. Have this in your repertoire when we go into the game on Saturday. Consider this. This is what we do well. This is what I think should work against this defense. And just kind of make sure those things are taking place, especially in a run game where we feel that, you know, this really just due to experience, you know, this should be probably, you know, not so heartline. We'll say maybe it's not as strong suit, you know, when
going
into
Joe Philbin is going to make sure that we run the ball.
I mean, when it comes down to it, you know. Hopefully, you know, man, I'm all about running. I'm off the line guy, man. We're all about running the ball. You know, when it comes down to it, as off the line man, and you're running the ball, you're usually moving forward at the snap compared to, you know, delivering a blow compared to in the pass game. A lot of times you could be catching a blow, more or less, you know, type of deal. So all about running the ball. And another thing, I guess, which you was kind of getting to, with Philbin being there with that experience, it gives Coach Day a little bit more freedom, right? Like he was stating, a little bit more freedom. Maybe you don't have to be so hands-on with the offense, so hands-on with Hartline. You have somebody else there that can kind of take some of that heat, facilitate some of that while he focused on other things, as we know, our defense and special teams and all those little things that kind of really make you a championship team. Another interesting fact is that Joe Philbin and Hartline has a bit of a relationship, right? Philbin, the head coach of the Dolphins, for between, I feel like, 2012 to 2015, well, also at the same time, Brian Hartline was a wide receiver for the Dolphins. So they should know each other. Right. They should know each other a little bit. I mean, obviously, when you're playing, you're not in the same meetings, right, as the coaches. But personality wise, they should definitely know each other and kind of. And hopefully with a good relationship. Obviously, we don't know, but hopefully they had a good working relationship where they both respected each other. I'm sure Philbin, he's such a great guy. You just kind of have to get along with him, I feel. But obviously, we don't know until We'll see how it goes.
And I think the reality, I think it's important. I think the Philbin hire is important for Hardline. And that Hardline, as a young offensive coordinator, is going to be growing as a coordinator. We could talk about how great of a coach he is, how great of a recruiter, and all those things. But the reality is, when you're moving into a new space, there's some growth. There's some room for growth. And I think, you know, having a relationship with Philbin from his playing days as a player coach, and then also as he continues to implement his approach, put his stamp on offense and how we're, you know, it's ultimately Ryan Day's offense, but it's going to be Hardline putting his stamp on it and how I want to run this. Having that guy to help guide him through that process who's been there before, I think that's I think that becomes very important. Somebody who he's comfortable with as well,
right?
Because, you know, that's also very important, right? Being a young guy, bringing the older guy in, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want somebody that you're comfortable with as opposed to somebody who feels like,
he's here to watch me. Like, is he here? What is he here for? Is he here to watch me? Is he here to take my job? Exactly. Like, you know?
Exactly.
Are we going to clash? Are you going to come in with these old school 3 yards in the cloud of dust mentality that, you know, that, right, that we no longer do here at Ohio State? You know, so, I mean, it's definitely things to consider there. But, I mean, obviously, you know, we have faith that it will work out well. When it comes down to it, I have just a ton of faith in Ryan Day's offense in general that he's going to generate some points. So, I mean, obviously we'll have to see how it goes. But, you know, I feel it's a good time to bring him in. Philbin has a lot to look at, right? He has a whole spring to kind of evaluate guys, players, and what we did good, what we did well, what didn't we do. Got a whole spring to kind of look at personnel and players and tendencies and what these players are good at and what they're not good at. And then, obviously, it's a ton of time for them to meet internally, sit down one-on-one, and kind of come up with a plan for camp on how they want to install their offense. You know, what are the important things they want to install first, your bread and butter type of deals, and then just kind of, you know, continue that relationship to get close to the game.
Put him on Michigan duty too, man. Sure. Like, yeah. Put him on Michigan duty.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that Michigan defense.
Yeah.
How can we scheme him up?
Sure. Yeah, right. I mean, first off, you got to protect. 2 years ago, we couldn't protect. We lost. Last year, they really didn't do too much defensively. We just didn't do enough to keep up with them. So,
yeah,
get in there and crank out that film. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what I want to see. That's for sure, man. So, I mean, obviously, I think we're, once again, Ohio State making good moves, quality moves to help the program out to stay that one of those top-tier type of programs that we expect them to be. I mean, obviously, with our talent, the guys we bring in, the money we put into it, the way our coaches, the way they do it, you know, we always feel number one. So, you know, we just got to keep it rolling from there, man. So, yeah. So, but next thing we want to talk about, I mean, not a ton of things going on, but they did release the Ohio State schedule for the season. Our schedule is released, and they kind of start dropping a few days and time that some games going to take place. So we know right now that the Michigan game is going to be at noon. Obviously, that's the historical time that they play, but we play at Michigan this year. That game will be at 12 noon. And we have a couple of night games. They released a couple of night games that we'll be a part of. One being at home against Michigan State. Obviously, Michigan State has a lot to prove this year after 2 years ago having a lot of success under Mel Tucker, receiving a pretty big contract.
Tucker didn't live up to that contract.
Yeah, he got a pretty big contract. So, and last year, it was weird. It was weird not seeing Michigan State being, close to the top of the Big Ten with their just being competitive. I don't know exactly what happened there. It was kind of weird. They lost a lot of tough games. I feel like they probably should have / could have won. But that's a night game. That's a night game at the Shoe. So that would be big. That would be fun, right? Always fun to have a night game at the Shoe when they rig in the lights. And then also Notre Dame, which was probably could be expected, right? Ohio State versus Notre Dame, Ohio State at Notre Dame this year. That game would be a night game as well against one of our former teammates, who's the head coach now at Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. So yeah, so what is this? This is second.
It's his second year. It feels second year for some reason, but this would be a
second season. Yeah, it seemed like it was a little bit longer than that, but second year.
Second season as the head coach of Ohio State, so he's going to continue to be able to put his stamp on that program. Lost. He had a big
Notre
loss.
Dame head coach at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. What did I say?
Yeah, you said Ohio State.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man, it's kind of late, man. Right? You said late, man.
Second year as a head coach at Notre Dame. So. They had a big loss in the offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese.
Tommy Reese, that's right.
His name.
Lost to Alabama, yeah.
He took same job at Alabama, which is always that can't necessarily feel good when the offensive coordinator of what you would classify as one of the top just organizations mm-hmm. when it comes to college football to move to another organization and take the same job, right?
Yeah, it's weird. Kind of weird. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, I don't know, man. To me, it's a lot of plus for Tommy Reese. I mean, obviously, I mean, we was talking about it before the show, and I know Notre Dame gets good recruits, right? They get, you know, they get top 10 talent across the country, right? And they, you know, good school there historically. I don't really care too much for Ohio State. I mean, for Notre Dame, because Ohio State guy, they're fairly close. People wouldn't really even know, but you know, they're fairly close. Like, you know, South Bend, Indiana, and Columbus, Ohio, so, you know, really a decent car drive from each other. But it's not really like them that much. Is it when before? You know, when I was in high school, we played them in a couple big bowl games, and obviously that's when Ohio State had. Tay Ginn, and Troy Smith, they kind of had breakout games against Notre Dame back in those days. So it was always good to see Ohio State beat Notre Dame. But, you know, right now Freeman's there, one of our former teammates, linebacker, one of our team captains. I mean, team captains, great leader, great guy. And we obviously wishing him much success going to the second year. Obviously, we know last year, a little rocky. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. He got lost some games early. Lost to Ohio State. In a game that they played decent, I would say. Obviously, they didn't have the offensive firepower to kind of keep up. We kind of ran the ball down their throat in the second half. It's kind of really—I ain't gonna say we ran down their throat, but we just kind of kept control of the game by running the ball in the second half. And then they had that upset loss to Marshall, and at that point, it was kind of like. I think what was that? I mean, that was. I think he was 0-3 as a head coach. They lost the bowl game, lost to Ohio State, lost to Marshall. It was like, yeah. You know, what's going on? But from there, they picked it up. All right, they picked it up. Pretty competitive for the rest of the season. Kind of on the back stretch of some playoff talks, if you recall.
Yeah, they had a really strong finish. I think they got to their identity. Kind of after that Marshall loss, maybe the next game. I don't know. They played Syracuse. They beat somebody who was ranked. Mm-hmm. At that point, that it's not a great team, but it was a team that was like, this is a solid football team. They beat them. I think it was like a Syracuse. But I think in one of those games, they kind of find their identity as a hard-nosed, run the ball pretty much every play.
Yeah.
And then when you're not running the ball, throw the ball to an elite level tight end. Right? And that was it. And then play good defense. They played good defense consistently.
They played good defense. Yeah. Yeah, and Freeman was a defensive coordinator. So next year he's the head coach, and obviously the defense still played well. So that's always good to see. But obviously, like we kind of started off with talking about their offensive coordinator. They lose their offensive coordinator. He takes a job at Alabama. In my mind, it was a win-win-win, right? He got paid pretty well for offensive coordinator in college football. He's getting close to $2 million a year. He get to go coach 5-star athletes across the board, and we know – you know, once you do kind of well or win that national championship at Alabama, if you are able to do so, you go right into a pretty good head coaching job. So I'm sure he kind of considered that. And to top it off, he brought a quarterback with him, right? He had one of the quarterbacks at Notre Dame. I'm blanking on his name right now. He leaves Notre Dame and he transfers to Alabama. So he got somebody that should be pretty familiar with his offense if you
kind of. But I'm not sure he wants him running it. But
if he was doing that job at Notre Dame, he wouldn't have transferred, right? But yeah. I don't know. So, I mean,
you know,
I imagine
he knows how to hand the ball off. So yeah, and the Notre Dame, they, you know, Marcus went out. They went to go get a Notre Dame level offensive coordinator out of Utah. Mm-hmm. They got to try to get the offensive coordinator out of Utah, Andy Ludwig, I think is his name. And Notre Dame was not willing to buy out his contract.
Kind of weird, man.
So I don't know if they talked about it prior to actually meeting with him, or because that was definitely a going to be a challenge if you weren't willing to buy out the contract. So they end up.
Yeah, I mean, but let's focus. We talking about Notre Dame, man. We're not talking about. We just said Michigan State, Mel Tucker. He got their coach. You know, usually, you know, even on a good year, Michigan State could like end up third or fourth for the Big Ten. It was like, oh, it was a good year for Michigan State. Right. And they dropping money on their head coach. Notre Dame not spending money on the coordinator, man. Like, you know, like what like, you know, like you gotta. Once again, Freeman's our guy, but it's only his second year of experience ahead at off the coordinator. So usually, if you got to have a young young head coach, you put experience around him. You put experience around him and coordinators, position coaches. You know, you want your guy to do well, but you don't gamble that he knows everything already. You know, you kind of put some pieces around him, and they're not cutting checks, man. It's Notre Dame. What's up with that?
I'm not sure what their approach is. We just talked about Ohio State going and getting an experienced Joe Philbin as a
right. Hartline getting an accident at his house, and we go get an experience on the corner. Right. Like, you know, we ain't leaving nothing chance here, man.
In Notre Dame, you know, they had an opportunity. Right, they had the opportunity. They went out there and they identified, this is the guy we want. And then they said, you know what? As you know, you start getting to contract term. You know what? I'm not sure. I'm really willing to spend that bread. Pretty much Marcus Freeman's guy that he's been with at Cincinnati, at Purdue, and other.
Yeah, his name is Gerald Parker. So yeah, like you said, they've been together. Right, they've been a while. Been together for a couple schools now. I think he was a tight end coach. Yeah. So he gets the promotion. He bump up. Good for him. You know, I'm sure he's willing and ready, and he's going to give it his best shot. But in my experience, Utah's talking about top-tier programs. Alabama paying your offensive coordinator to leave your school to come there. I'm sure he had a contract or something like that, something that needed to be done. Ohio State, we haven't troubles on defense. We go get a guy at Oklahoma State, you know, one of their guys, and, you know, make sure we pay him where we're adequate amount of money to get him to become a Buckeye to kind of plug in holes. Elite programs pay the money to kind of, you know, make sure that, you know, they get themselves the best opportunity to once again get to the playoffs and then, you know, have a chance at winning it. And it's just kind of interesting to see that when it got to the nitty gritty of things, you know, you got a guy out of Utah who's really, I mean, to be honest, he has been having success with throwing and running the ball. You know, if you want to run the ball, you know, you could look at some times where, you know, the Utes just kind of went out there and had some guys that could really get it done. You see, look at that USC game and what they were able to do there. And then you also talk about throwing the ball, and the coach and the quarterback there was Cam Rising, and the success that they've been having recently with throwing the ball. If you look at when they played Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, I mean, he went toe to toe with CJ that night with throwing the ball, man. So I mean, like, you know, he's a very capable guy, and when it comes down to it, you almost say it's not worth it. I mean, I don't know.
Speculate a little bit here, man, because why not? I think there's some people in the Notre Dame organization that don't want Marcus Freeman as the head coach. That's where I'm going.
I wasn't going to put that on camera, but let's talk about it.
I think, you know, okay, you have, Brian Kelly,
yep.
Leave and go to LSU or whatever. And now you got to make a decision, right? Who do we bring somebody in? Do we lose one of the hottest coaches in college football right now, Marcus Freeman? Does he take 5 to 10 guys with him wherever he goes? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different world, right? So to keep everything, keep the stability, keep your core, your team, and have a guy that guys have bought into, why don't we just promote this guy? It seemed like an uncharacteristic move when they did that.
Right? Yeah.
When they did that, okay. So now you have an offensive coordinator who I believe went to Notre Dame. The Tommy Rees. He went to Notre Dame. And he goes to Alabama. And you know he's going to be there. Alabama coordinators are there 2-3 years, and they're head coaches somewhere else. That's just the reality, right? I just feel like there's not full buy-in to give Marcus everything he needs to be successful. I just feel like it's not full buy-in. And when there's not, to me there's hesitancy somewhere in that organization that says, okay, I agree we're going to make him head coach, but I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? And when there's to me, if there's not full buy-in, that's when you like, all right, yeah, we'll give him this, but we're not gonna give him that. Like, we're not gonna go get a great offensive coordinator out of Utah to support this team to try to take that next jump. Because what you're talking about is taking that next jump and competing for championships versus being a team that may win 10 games and still be a relatively good football team. And I think, in my opinion, there's I feel like there's just not the backing. Either that or they're just trying to save money, which with Notre Dame, I don't think that should be an issue, really.
Man, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know Notre Dame books, right? I mean, we all know. Like, you know, maybe stuff ain't like it used to be. Possibly. You know, they're
Join the Big Ten then, you know? Join
the Jesuit school. I mean, you know, but, you know, they got a lot of things. But you would think that, you know, that the funding is behind Notre Dame. You would think that they have the budget for stuff like this. You know, when you start, I mean, there's certain programs that you know are going to want to be elite. Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, USC, Notre Dame. Like, you know, you expect these schools to do whatever it takes to kind of have their team be the top tier, you know, one of the top tier programs in the nation. So, I don't know. I'm not going to say
somebody wants Tommy Rees.
They're sabotaging our guy Freeman up there, but I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, really want, you know, last year when it came down to it, be frank, you struggled on offense, right? Right. I mean, you could say what you want to say about personnel, the quarterback. Obviously, we watched him play, and as the season went on, he got better, right? I think they had to switch at quarterback, and they got better at the position. But when it came down to it, not really elite. In the trenches, I feel like their line play was decent off of the defensive line. I feel like it was good enough. But essentially, due to the quarterback play, I can't even say what was on the outside. What was on the edge when it comes to wide receiver. Can't say what was there. But obviously, they had an elite tight end, and they had some capable running backs. But when it came down to it, you really struggle offensively. Like, you know, the defense did well enough, especially in college football, how hard it is sometimes to contain these offenses. They did well enough that you should, you know, you could have done a little more. So why not? Like, all right, if there's one thing we need to invest in this offseason, it's the offense. Get a guy that's capable. We've seen his success. You know, obviously, in the Pac-10, Utah has been very, you know, top-tier teams by scoring. Not have playing defensive shutouts. They've been beating top-tier teams by scoring. Grab a guy, bring him in. Continue to, you know, the success and build off that defense that you had in place from there. But like I said, it's definitely weird, man.
Yeah, I want Marcus to be successful. I believe Tommy Rees. You had Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame. You had two choices. You had a defensive coordinator. You had an offensive coordinator who went to Notre Dame, right? Right. You chose a defensive coordinator, a young guy. Promoted him. I think there's some in that organization that wanted Tommy Rees. Tommy Rees leaves and goes to Bama for the same position, same job. He's only going to be there a couple years, unless he just does terrible at Bama, which I can't foresee. He's only going to be there a couple years, and there's some people at Notre Dame that are watching the situation, in my opinion, saying Marcus has to prove it that he could be consistently good before we put everything behind him, and if he's not, we're going to go get Tommy Rees.
We'll get Tommy Rees, man. That's two million turns to 8 to 9 million, and then there you go. And there you go. You got your guy. So, I mean, like, it would be interesting to see. Obviously, we always kind of, you know, with Freeman being there, like I said, our teammate for how many seasons we played with Freeman? Three seasons with Freeman. Yeah. I mean, just a great guy. Love the guy, man. Him and his family, just fantastic people. So obviously we're hoping that he win a lot of games except for one this season. You know, I still root for Ohio State over. But other than that, we'll wish him success. Hopefully he could, figure it out. I'm not going to say that the cards are stacked against him. I'm not going to say anything like that. But, right now they play that, that ACC schedule, right? So, they could play good. They could beat Clemson. Then, they are in contention to make the playoffs. So, wish them well, man. Hopefully they are able to do those things and have some success, man. But, that's what we wanted to kind of talk about today. I mean, I feel like we hit on a couple of things. Obviously, news was a little quiet around Ohio State, but this is the summer. This is the time to grind. Guys get bigger, stronger. Some of those guys we see in the spring, they got to practice. They got to see what they was good at, and they got to actually see what they was not that good at. Maybe I need to be faster here. I need to be stronger at the point here. So this is the time to kind of hone in on those things in the summer, man. So really excited. Once again, I want to say shout out to our sponsors, Bet Online, for everything that they do with our podcast and the Bleed Company. Appreciate them, and we just want to say thank you to all. And we'll catch you guys here shortly, man. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa, and we'll catch you next time. OH!
Ayo! Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!